Turn my mic. One, two, three. Are we loud and clear? All right. We'll start over. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Gary McLean, and I'm hearing examiner for the city of Kirkland today. And I think you all have come in person. And do we have any online participants that have signed in? Okay. I think there was an option for that. But either way, folks are here in the room today to either participate or observe. A public hearing, which is required under the city's code for this request for an amendment to the master plan for Northwest University. Under the city's code, this type of application is something that requires an open record public hearing before the city's hearing examiner, sitting here. And I will take testimony from staff to hear their recommendation and a summary of their staff report and anything that came up. Since the advisory report was issued, then I will turn to the applicant team to speak to the merits of their application. And let me know, please, if you all have reviewed the analysis and materials generated by staff and the recommended conditions, and if you accept those as written, or if you want to see changes to anything that has to do with the analysis as well as the recommended conditions. And then after that, I will turn to any members of the public or people who have signed in or who show up here in the hearing room to offer their comments and questions regarding the application. If there are any public comments that come in, I will then turn to the applicant team and the staff team once all comments have concluded to give you all an opportunity to respond as you see fit. I reserve the right to ask questions of anybody at any time during the course of the hearing, and anybody that will be speaking today, I will do so under oath, and I'll administer the oath one at a time when you are recognized to speak. Procedurally, staff generated a number of materials. I think you labeled it an advisory report. I'll probably call it a staff report, in which there was a recommendation of approval with conditions. And I did see before today's date, staff did transmit to me electronic copies of presentation materials that the parties might use. And I did note there might be a recommended change to a condition, so I'll let you all cover that when you please. Before we started today, I got into the city and drove by the campus, drove on the campus, drove around the building, the neighborhood around it, went by the home or the property owned by a written comment that you did receive. So I'm familiar with the area and the transportation corridor around it and the surrounding uses and the beautiful university campus of which this building is part. I got to do that site visit before we started today. So, with that, I will turn to staff. Will it be Mr. Is it Levitt? Will you be leading the charge? Okay. If you have a mic, you can, if you want to do it in front of me, all right, you're going to go to the podium. That
go to the
sounds good.
podium right here.
You are the guinea pig. So, if you would please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And did I pronounce your last name
It
correctly?
is Levitt.
Levitt.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Levitt, the floor is yours.
All right, great. Thank you very much. So again, we are here for the Northwest University Davis Building Master Plan Amendment. Just one second here. Okay, great. The applicant has submitted a request for approval of a master plan amendment. The amendment proposes a change of use for the existing Davis Administration Building to allow administrative office for a community facility use to lease and occupy the building. The applicant is proposing no new structures or building expansions as part of the proposal. Additionally, the proposal includes a reduction in the campus enrollment from 2,000 full-time equivalent FTE students to 1,965 FTE students. The Davis Building is located in the northwest corner of the campus at along 108th Avenue Northeast. The building has separate access from 108th and a parking lot that is located to the west and north of the building. A little bit about the master plan that was approved back in 2019. The master plan was to guide development on the campus until the year 2039. Some of the key elements of the proposed of the approved plan including proposed campus improvements totaling 300 around 364,000 gross square feet of new net construction, shared use of the athletic fields, and an increase in the overall enrollment to 2,000 FTE students. The adopted master plan and the Kirkland Zoning Code have criteria for deviations from the approved plan that may be administratively approved by the planning and building director. Staff reviewed the proposal for compliance with these criteria and determined that the proposal did not meet the requirements for an administrative approval from the existing plan due to the change of use and the leasing of the Davis building to a long-term tenant. As a result of this, the proposed change to the master plan requires approval of a process 2B zoning permit. So that is why we are here. A little background regarding the SEPA determination and addendum for the project. In March of 2019, the city issued a SEPA mitigated determination of non-significance for a 20-year campus master plan. The SEPA MDNS required mitigations to address traffic impacts associated with the master plan. The traffic impacts were based on a maximum enrollment of 2,000 students. As part of this proposal, the applicant submitted an updated traffic study that addressed the traffic impacts for the proposed community facility administrative office. Use of the building as a food bank, clothing bank, or mental health facility was not considered as part of this proposal.
And you're using those terms because those are the terms used in the city code definition for, is it a public facility or what is it?
Community facility.
Community facility.
Yeah.
Is that
correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. In order to accommodate the vehicle trips that will be generated by an outside entity using the Davis Administration Building, without exceeding the trip expected under the build-out of the master plan, the applicant proposed a reduction in the total number of FTE students from 2,000 to 1,965. When, as part of the public comment period, staff received one comment during this time, and we received no additional comments prior to this hearing after drafting of the staff report as well. The issue raised in the comment letter focused on the use of the property. The neighbor is not opposed to the Davis building being used as a community facility office operating within the usual work hours. If the building is used to provide direct services such as a food bank, clothing bank, or mental health services, the neighbor requests mitigation to address potential impacts to the surrounding neighborhood. Additionally, the neighbor raised an issue about the boundary showed on the notice of application. The neighbor wanted to ensure that some properties shown on the map were not part of the planned Area 1 zone. Staff responded by stating that the applicant is, again, the application is for the Davis building to be only used in administrative office for a community facility, a food bank, clothing bank, or mental health service office. Providing direct services is not permitted under this modification. As a result, the mitigations that the neighbor requested are not warranted at this time. In regard to the map issue, the map contained within the notice of application identified the properties owned by the Northwest University and not the planned Area 1 zoning boundaries. Based on the conclusions in the staff report.
What did that mean?
I'm sorry?
What did that mean? What was she? I think she just wanted to confirm boundaries.
She was a former member. Actually, it's a bad little background. She was a former member of the what used to be called the Houghton Community Council, and there was a lot of discussion about the zoning boundaries and things like that. And so she just wanted to make sure that it was represented that those were not part of. There's a planned Area 1 zoning boundary, and then there's some properties that are not zoned planned Area 1 that the university owns. So they're basically off-campus properties that are owned by the university, but not zoned planned Area 1.
And this property is or is not part of it?
The neighbor's property or this?
No, the site.
Oh, no, this subject property is part of the planned Area 1.
Yeah.
No, she just saw some of the residential properties that they own that are outside of the zoning boundary that were reflected in the
vicinity. There's no dispute about the zoning that applies to the site where this building to be leased is located.
No, not at all.
Thank you.
Yeah. So as far as the staff report, staff is recommending approval of the application subject to the conditions outlined in the report. These conditions include use of the Davis building would be limited to administrative office for a community facility only with no direct service to public. A community facility that would provide direct service to the public, to people, is not permitted on subject property under this modification. Submittal of a updated master plan document to reflect amendments as part of this application. And finally, the 2019 master plan is amended to limit the maximum enrollment to 1,965 full-time enrollee students. As was previously mentioned, so I had sent the memo to the applicants, and they had requested a slight change in the condition regarding the community facility. What they want to ensure is in the future, if I'm not here or they're not here, that it's clear that if the university wanted to take back the Davis building and use it for their uses, that that would be allowed without a minor modification or amendments of the master plan, that they could do that within their use of the campus. So that's what this condition, it just adds a couple words that says those. So the final condition would read any of those of the building, so any use of the building other than those allowed under the existing master plan or as administrative office for a community facility. So it's just a slight change to the condition. So with that concludes my presentation.
I have a question.
Sure.
The comment you received had a concern that if customers, patrons, members of the public that were going to receive services mm-hmm. from the from the tenant of that building, they were concerned that there would be impacts. There could be. Mm-hmm. And so your analysis and your recommendation focuses on traffic and trips and things. And that's why you pulled back the number of students that could be enrolled there. So mm-hmm. it could be within the parameters of the CEPA review that happened for the project. Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. With this change, are there any uses that are allowed under the existing master plan by the university
mm-hmm.
That are substantially similar to those that the written comment was concerned about?
I cannot think of one. The use listing the university is permitted under is a private college and associated, I can't remember the exact terminology, but associated uses. So it would have to be something, you know, I guess if the university were going to propose some kind of childcare use or something like that.
I'm thinking if there's a nursing program or even sort of mm-hmm. some kind of healthcare training mm-hmm. school mm-hmm. education component of the university, if they were to see patients and have visitors come that could be, you know, served that would be similar, is it your view that the master plan does not allow for that?
I guess we would have to review any use the university was proposing, you know, within their current listing. We would need to evaluate that and make sure that it falls within that. And we could, as part of that, there are some conditions in there that we could implement requirements to mitigate potential.
I caught you on the spot asking that. So when the applicant is up speaking, if you've got a second, take a look at the exact language to make sure what you just said is right.
Okay.
And if you want to supplement the record to
okay.
better answer that. But the question basically has, I'm going to hear from the applicant and they can tell me themselves.
Yeah.
But I think that the members of the public would just like to know that this modification to the condition does not allow for an end run of what their concerns were.
Yeah.
And I'd like you to tell me whether it would or would not allow for that.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Did that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your presentation. All right. Now would be an opportunity for the applicant team to speak to the merits of your proposal, and feel free to incorporate responses to any questions that you heard me pose as part of your presentation. You don't have to start with it, but just cover it if you want to. And for the record, if you would introduce yourself and spell your name, and then I'll put you under oath.
Yes. So Ian Falds, last name is F as in Frank, A-U-L-D as in David, S as in Sam. and I'm representing the applicant with Core Design Inc.
Mr. Falls, is that how I say it?
Yes.
Okay. If you'd raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm that testimony you're about to give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you for being here. The floor is yours.
Thank you. So we do have a presentation as was referenced. So this is associated with the zoning application, but then there's also this conditional use permit. So that permit number is 24117905 CUP. And great. As Mr. Levitt presented, the address for the property is 5710 108th Avenue Northeast, Kirkland, Washington, 98033. He included this map of the campus from the master plan as well. And so we've just highlighted kind of this building is up in the northwest corner. It does have its own entrance and access point, its own dedicated parking facility. And again, none of those facilities or uses or anything there is changing. Parking stall counts remaining the same. The parcel is just under an acre, zoned PLA1. And then the proposed use change would be to go from the various campus uses that are currently allowed under the master plan to a leased office space for nonprofit, which is under that community facility definition. Oops.
And how long has the building been vacant? If you're going to cover that, that's fine.
Yeah, actually, that's perfect. So it's been vacant for about 11 months.
Because the
And
site visit kind of made that transparent.
yes, yeah, so it's been vacant for a little bit. The campus would like to utilize that space. They've had a reduction in students already, and so they're consolidating their administrative offices elsewhere on campus, and so that presented the opportunity to utilize the space
Was
for.
there a curriculum, course level that a program that went away? Some colleges and universities get rid of, say, computer science or nursing or pre-law or whatever. What went away?
I would defer to Ryan Porter as the campus representative
Okay.
for that. And if you'd like, we can cover that after my
That's
presentation.
fine. That's fine.
But to that effect, this building did previously, your question to Tony Levitt was regarding previous uses in the building and potentially if a tenant was trying to provide services to the public. So this building did have some nursing component in it previously, and so there in the past has been a history of outside community members or whatever coming to the building for services already. So again, the intent here is not to allow that to happen as part of the lease agreements. This would just be for administrative offices for like a nonprofit. That's the goal. And I can continue here. So again, university administrative offices, it's currently been vacant for 11 months. We've got the community facility definition on here. So that was including items such as mental health crisis, social human services, food banks, clothing banks. It's not limited to those, but something along that line that kind of encompasses the intent of a nonprofit. So this was the closest definition for uses within the code that aligned with the campus's goal. Again, key features here. So it's just a change in use. The structure is remaining the same. There's no changes to any of the existing facilities, utilities, parking stalls. Traffic impacts would be minimal, and we are offsetting those by reducing the student count at the campus. And then staff already referenced the SEPA amendment as well, which was issued last month. And then we're available for additional questions. And if you'd like, I can bring Ryan Porter up to answer the
Mr. Porter, if you want to come address the questions that I asked, that's fine. Pen is moving slowly here. Mr. Porter, if you'd raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm that testimony you're about to give today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Porter, what's your position with the university?
My role is the chief financial officer. I'm responsible for business operations for the university. You asked the question of what went away that resulted in us having additional square footage on campus. That was the question, correct?
And fewer students.
Fewer students.
Yeah.
COVID, we saw a drop of about 40% in our undergraduate population, and that has not rebounded.
Okay.
We're currently running about 890 FTE on the campus. And as shared, we are a campus that supports a much higher number than that.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through several rounds of layoffs of staff and faculty, and we're now positioned in a healthy way, size-wise, operationally, to continue to move forward with the student body population we have. We consolidated offices with all the moves, and instead of having people, 10 people work in a building, we brought them closer together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it wasn't like you got rid of the nursing program or whatever.
We still offer nursing.
Okay. Yeah. And how long have you been the CFO?
So I started in March of 22. So just over 3 years.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mr. Pauls?
No, I would just reiterate that elsewhere on campus, or all of the uses within the PLA1 zone are allowed under the master plan that's currently dictating the campus uses and development. That includes kind of that off-site, or not off, the general public coming to the property for various things like the nursing program and whatnot. So that is already happening on campus. The goal for this specific building would not be to allow that. So we are, we're happy with the conditions that are provided in the staff report and agree with that recommendation.
So there would be no future use by the university that would bring folks into that building.
So
the
that
reason
was...
I ask that is because my understanding from staff, and they can correct me, is that the understanding is that this building was used for admin purposes and it would be leased for admin purposes, and that admin purposes does not entail customer service or frequent visitors. And the reason I say that, staff can correct me, is I'm familiar enough to know that trip counts are very different for a doctor's office than they are for people that just come and sit at a desk all the time. But when you have appointments with people that need your services, there are a lot more trip counts. There are different impacts that have to be addressed. And for this application, my understanding is none of that happens here. And if something like that were to start happening there, there would have to be additional review because those impacts have not been analyzed.
I would clarify that those impacts have not been analyzed for the proposed community facility use. All of those impacts were included within the master plan for those uses that are allowed within the master plan. So that was why we added that clarification language saying, should we want to revert this back to a campus use, we would default to the existing master plan agreement. So for example, if this was used as a visitor center for the campus, there would inherently be offsite visitors that are entering that building. But again, that is all encompassed within the master plan agreement. So we are not planning to have any offsite visitors related to leases in the structure, but we would like to maintain the right to default to the allowed uses under the master plan.
Understood. Thank you. Anything further?
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'll give you, all right. So I'll look to staff who are coordinating the online hearing platform. Are there any people that signed on since we started the hearing that may want to speak? There are no people that signed in. And I'm looking at the hearing room, and the only people I see that are here are applicant representatives and staff individuals. But just in case somebody's under a chair and I can't see them, if anybody would like to speak, please raise your hand. No one's coming forward, and I don't see people standing out in the hallway, which sometimes happens, and they don't like to be in here until they're ready to talk. So I will close the public comment portion of this public hearing and note that staff informed me that there were no additional written comments submitted since your staff report was distributed, correct?
That is correct,
All
yes.
right. So the public comment period for this hearing is closed. And I will turn back to Mr. Levitt. Were you able to find any additional information, or was there anything else you would like to add based on the applicant presentation? And I'll give the applicant an opportunity to respond to anything you say.
Yeah, no, I just to clarify, so the use that is allowed is private college and related facilities. So anything that the university proposes under their master plan that is related to their college instruction would be allowed. And so we would look to that if they were proposing to again occupy the Davis Administrative Building for their use. So we would just confirm that it was something that was related to the university and ensure that it complies with that requirement, so that use requirement.
So the definition of community facility is different than that for a university. Am I wrong?
It is correct. Yeah, community facility has a specified definition. Private college and related facilities does not within the code.
And the reason I'm asking is, let's look at community facility, the definition. And it appears on the applicant's slide where they cite to the Zoning Code 5.10.153, which I believe is the definition of community facility, a non-commercial or commercial use which provides public services such as mental health crisis or other social and human services, food banks, and clothing banks. All right. Can the university run any of those in this building?
I would think as long as the university was associated with the university use, it was something that they was part of their, I guess, university private college use. It is something that they could run out of there.
If I may.
Let me ask a question, then I'm going to let you respond for sure. Do you believe that the analysis that was undertaken when the master plan came in envisioned that? And the reason I ask that is this definition is very different than I think the common definition of a university and what a university does. And we're being asked to treat this a little bit differently now because it's an admin building and you want to make sure that it's only doing one aspect of these services, which is administrative services without customers. And I'm using the term customers, I mean patrons or people that are members of the served public, the public. Do you have. Really? You think it was considered when the master plan was written? And did somebody else on staff want to provide a response?
Well, so I mean, I can't tell you specifically what. So when the university did their original master plan, the traffic analysis looked at obviously student enrollment was the big thing.
Right.
I can't provide additional details on what within that what all the traffic impacts were looked at with that plan.
Introduce yourself for the record, and I'll put you under oath.
John Regala, planning supervisor with the City of Kirkland.
Mr. Regala, if you'd raise your right hand, do you swear or affirm the testimony you might give today would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It will be.
And Mr. Regala, I'll note for the record, since there's only a digital audio recording, which is the official record, I will note that you've been here for the entire hearing. You've heard comments and things. Did you have any information you'd like to share on the topics we've been talking about?
I'm just kind of thinking out loud, like how we would approach this, given your question. And that is, and maybe Tony, you can help figure this out too. And that is, when the original master plan for Northwest University was created and studied. So to me, the question is, was a community facility use part of the master plan program? So for example, I think the obvious uses would be, school functions, board functions, administrative functions. So, football field, whatever that field was supposed to be used for. So the question is, as part of that master plan, I think what you're getting at is, was a community facility use contemplated as part of the function of the university at that time? And if it was, then I would agree that if the university decided to open a food bank, we would go back to the master plan, determine whether that was an allowed use, and it would be approved. If it wasn't, then we would have to go through this modification process and determine whether or not it's an administrative review or a more formal process to be reviewed. So to me, that's the question. And Tony, I don't know if you know off the top of your head or if we need to do a little bit more research and get back to you, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
And the applicant may have a response that
Correct.
means nothing but requested additional time, and it may be a smart move to do that, but I will turn to Mr. Falls, and you may respond to anything you've heard.
Yeah, I believe the distinction would be that this is not the university itself doing this activity. This is a lease to a different group or agency that's doing an activity. So that's why it doesn't fall under the university umbrella of university activities that
I
would be
totally
allowed.
understand that.
So
But the question was, if we amend it and you're allowed to make university uses of the same building, say you lease half of it to a tenant and they're the admin thing. And I think the concern might be that the university then says, oh, you're the group that manages, there was a mental health crisis. Let's say they're the admin people that do that. And they thought this would be the perfect opportunity to team up with the university and its training program for counselors or people that deal with people in crisis. And the university says, we're going to take the downstairs and we're going to have a walk-in clinic that is operated by the university. And I think that concern is something that the neighbor made a comment about. So that's why I'm asking the question.
yeah, that's a, I think that's a valid point. I would say that the PL1, the PLA1 use table applies to the whole campus, not specifically individual buildings on site. This conditional use permit would apply to this building specifically, and I think the clarification is within the conditions that this can only be used for administrative. This building under the conditional use permit can only be used for administrative offices. And so I would say that
What's
if
written to say that any tenant the university signs a lease with can only use it for administrative purposes?
so maybe there's a clarification that could happen within the conditions to say that while this building is being leased, any portion of the building cannot be used for outside services. It would have the entire building, anytime there's a lease agreement for a portion of the building, the entire building would have to be used for administrative offices. Would that kind of meet some of the concern that you're
Yeah,
exhibiting?
that would do away with the need for staff to have to decide.
Because
I don't know if it's allowed or not, and not allowed, because going forward, certainty is always better than uncertainty.
agreed.
And so if you as the applicant want to make it certain and very clear going forward what it can be used for and what it can't be used for, that's great. And I don't mean to be making, well, I'm just saying it's my job to do this. I've got other projects that I'm dealing with right now that I get phone calls on, and something is approved where they're supposed to have a certain person in the restaurant all the time, and then they don't. And the question is, well, we didn't put it in the conditions. Well, the restaurant was approved with the applicant saying it was going to be this type of restaurant. And it's like, well, that's a violation of the use because they changed it from what they applied for. So I just want to make sure here at the outset, it's very clear.
And I believe that that tweak to the condition would make it clear, get rid of any gray area of if the, especially in the split use for the building. So like if the, like you said, if the lower floor is reverting to a campus use, the upper floor is leased space, that it's a very clear distinction of the entire structure. Anytime there's a lease agreement in place for the building cannot be used
So, do
for.
you all want additional time to stipulate, if you can, to a recommended condition of approval that will provide more clarity on the topic?
Yes, that would be helpful.
Yeah, that would be great.
And are you amenable to that?
Yeah.
You want to confer? Go ahead.
Yes.
We'll brief break here while people huddle.
Mr. Examiner.
Are we ready?
So the campus is not necessarily amenable to that language change because they have been using periodically various buildings, including the Davis building, for counseling services and whatnot. And so, again, that's associated with the university. So if there's a way to get the language so that it's specific to whatever group is leasing, that would be the preferred route. Because we don't want to limit the campus's use for school-related activity.
You're with core design.
Correct.
Yeah. I respect that.
We understand your concern, but yeah, there might be a way to get the language to work, but...
Mr. Levitt or Mr. Regalo, what would staff like?
So, I mean, we could definitely tweak the condition. I don't know. I mean, so the condition that we propose, I think, addresses your concern on potential future uses. So I guess there is still kind of the issue about if the university wanted to do one of these community facility uses under their private college and related facilities use,
which has a very different definition.
Yeah, well, the private college, it unfortunately doesn't have a specific definition. And that was the interesting thing. The master plan didn't really call out uses within the university itself. It basically said, as long as it's a private college and related facility, you're fine. It didn't specify this building has to be for administrative offices or counseling. So it gave the university flexibility to kind of move their operations between buildings within the campus. Mm-hmm. It really just governs the construction. I mean, the big thing is it governs the construction of new facilities and things like that. As far as the, you know, uses within the campus, it's again related to that overall use listing.
I think I would like to give you all time to generate, hopefully, a preferred recommendation. Okay. And if the applicant has a recommended condition that you would like to see apply, that's different than the staff, you'll let me know that. And I'd like you to confer with one another. And then if you can agree one, then it'll be submitted to me as a joint recommendation. If it's not, yours can come independently on behalf of the applicant saying, here, this, we know that's what staff wants, but we'd prefer it to be this, and I'll decide what my recommendation to the city council will be. But I do think staff needs to look at the master plan record, because one thing I will say is where you have a definition of something and it says something, it doesn't, if, but you said you don't have a different definition for university, but if you did, it'd be really hard to say this one swallows up everything in that. It's like, why did you have two definitions? You try to give meaning to all definitions. And if by exclusion, something's not in the other one, well, you know, you all need to look at that. Because I think it's a legitimate concern This building faces a very busy street, and I can see that if you decide to lease that, it could be, very attractive to a number of people and users. And Kirkland's a boom town; it's doing quite well. But how much time would you all like?
I would say tomorrow, let's say Monday,
Fair enough.
yeah, maybe like end of like 2 business days, like end of the day Monday. I think part of the issue is that the definition for community facility, which kind of the city defaults to mean nonprofits, has these very specific examples in it, which all have kind of a forward public facing kind of use associated with them. So again, the intent here is that the community facility is being expanded to mean just nonprofit here. And so the goal is not explicitly to release out to any of these type of uses. It would be, any type of nonprofit that needs an office space to be leased to. There's just no good explicit definition that calls that out within the
So
use
it's
table.
Thursday. I'm going to hold the record open to close of business Wednesday, the 23rd,
Okay.
to let you all see if you can't come to a mutual agreement on a recommended condition. Or if you want to let it ride with what's already on the record, that's fine. And if you want to submit your proposal beforehand, that's fine. But close of business Wednesday. It's summer. I'm not going to ask anybody to, stay indoors over a weekend to get something done while we still have this nice weather. So I'll keep the record open till close of business on Wednesday the 23rd and let you all confer. And no communications directly with me. They all go to staff and then they'll transmit them to me through their designated person who kind of is the hearing examiner's clerk. And I won't have any separate communications with you all. Until I get the recommendation, I issue a recommendation that'll be in writing that then goes up to the city council for their consideration. So nothing will be happening until after close of business the 23rd, and then I'll take it all under advisement. Anything further from the applicant or the staff? Nope.
No.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your presentations and your response to the questions, and I appreciate your follow-up. Or anticipated follow-up. And I'll go ahead and close the hearing and wish you all a good afternoon and good rest of the week. Thank you.